Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decrees. Haste thou not sign a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save, O the king, shall be cast into the den of lions. The king answered and said, the thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Then answered they and said before the king, that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition three times a day. Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself, and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him, and he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, know, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king established may be changed. Verse 16, then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee.
Yes.
How true is that?
Amen.
And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet, and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Yes. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for the word of truth. We take this word, this bread of life, and God, we spread it upon this place, this house, right now. God, you're giving this word. I'm asking, God, that every word come from me, come directly from your throne room. God, use me and however you use me. But God, let your word of truth penetrate the people in this house, God. For you have a purpose, and God, I'm asking that that purpose be made and brought into fruition tonight. God, we're heading for an altar to worship you and pray for you. God, asking you to do great and mighty things in this church, this house. God, we give the glory and the praise for it. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Let me see that. Do you feel like your enemy works against you to keep you your life of prayer? What I'm speaking of is prayer interrupted. If you want to title this message, it's going to be prayer interrupted. Or do you feel like your prayer life is constantly interrupted? Think about it.
Yeah.
When you go to prayer, what do you feel like? What happens when you go to prayer? Why do you have an enemy that wants to constantly distract you from prayer, you might ask? Because if he can take the prayer life out of you, then he can keep you from that bond, that relationship with God. Prayer is our lifeline. How can we be the branch coming from a vine if we're not connected?
Yeah.
I'm going somewhere. So we're going to wake up here in just a moment. But I want us to realize that there's a purpose in a life of prayer. We take Daniel, we see what he does and who he was, and we're going to dissect that tonight. But we want to know that when the Bible tells us that our enemy is going around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, we know there's business, distractions, worries, and fears, and all these things that work at devouring our life of prayer. What happens when you go to your knees or you're sitting at the stoplight and you're praying to God? What's happening right now? What's happening right now in this house that you're thinking about whatever else is going on? What am I going to do tomorrow?
Right. Come on.
Come on. What is these things going? Am I saying that's wrong? What I'm saying is the enemy is constantly looking for a distraction. He's looking for something to make you worry, be concerned about tomorrow, which you're not even promised you're on. But he will make it look like we have something to be concerned about.
Right.
Just like, where did that mole come up on my arm? Oh, maybe it's cancer.
Right.
Huh?
Yeah.
Is that how it works?
Mm-hmm.
We all know the enemy comes to distract you from the truth and the life. And here we see, having tricks and lies used against Daniel in his prayer life, and Daniel's getting thrown into a lion's den. I'm sure we can all say he was probably afraid. He was human after all.
Yeah.
Would you think about if you were thrown into a den of lions, dark and dingy, you could smell the lions down there. You could probably, when you were walking, stumbling in the dark, you'd probably kick around a few bones that were left over.
Right.
What's going on in your mind? I'm sure the hair on his neck probably stood up.
Yeah.
You ever been afraid?
Yeah. Come on.
The hair stood up on your neck? And you wonder what. I'm sure Daniel was thinking, when are these circling lions going to attack?
Right.
Mm-hmm. How long am I going to have consciousness and know? How long is the pain going to be?
Yeah.
How long is it going to be until what? So the question is here, as he has these moments of time in the darkness, that he's wondering. But the Bible says, Daniel, being a man of faith and prayer, lifted up his voice, and in a moment he prayed to God. I think we can all picture Daniel kneeling in the darkness.
Yeah.
Because that's what he did. Three times a day. The lions probably sniffing around him, chuffing as they would do, inches away from him, maybe even kind of glancing around him, wondering what dinner's going to be like.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Being so close in the darkness, not being able to see them, but maybe he could see just a little silhouette of a lion with his eyes piercing on him. Looking at him, being his enemy. It was a perfect opportunity for Daniel's prayer life to be interrupted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He is in the enemy's territory.
Uh-huh. Right.
It has been, if that had been me, it had been very difficult for me in that very particular moment, and I don't believe I'm alone, that I would be concerned, probably not so much about prayer, but that's where we should be. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
But you know what the habits are. One time, actually over here in Gentry, I went to the Wild Safari, and they had a small lion. They said it was a cub. It was only as big as a dog. They said, well, go ahead and get in the pen with it. It's fine. It's just playing with you. I'm going to tell you, when you walk in the pen with that lion and those eyes look at you and your meat, I jump out of that pen real quick. It didn't take me long to figure out his feet were about to reach my face. And it didn't matter if he wasn't full grown. He was probably about 100 pounds. But the point being, oh, he's just a cub.
Yeah.
I feel good about that.
Yeah.
Those 2-inch claws, they didn't do anything to me, will they? But the eyes that penetrate, I still remember that. It's probably been a decade ago. I remember the eyes when they looked at me when I opened the gate.
Yeah.
And I walked in, and he's like, and he started coming after me. They said, oh, he's going to play with you. Whatever you say. We're not playing. We're out. So thinking about what Daniel's feeling at this very moment, as he's sitting here looking at his enemy in the eye, he would have to will himself to stay focused on what he had known. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yes.
He would have to will himself
exactly.
to stay in prayer.
Exactly right.
Because he knew how to pray. He was a man of God that he did it 3 times a day religiously. Not what we say religious, but actually in conversation with God. He had to will himself to say, hey, I'm going to focus on God. I'm not going to focus on my enemy right now. I'm going to focus on God.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
This is a perfect opportunity, as we know, for prayer to be interrupted. By fear.
Yeah.
By fear. My point one is this. The enemy doesn't like to lose his territory.
No.
Amen?
That's right. You're right.
How about you?
Yeah.
You ever have a piece of property? You have lines drawn out of that property? Have a little stake here and there? And sometimes you come out with that property and that stake's kicked over? How do you feel? Mm-hmm. You've been on the property.
Yeah.
Hmm?
Right.
The enemy's going about seeing who he can devour. He doesn't want to lose it. He's already gained ground in our lives for some reason or another in fear. Then he doesn't want to lose that ground
right.
by us having a relationship with God.
Yeah, come on.
How do you overcome?
You're right.
But God.
But God.
How do you get into the enemy's territory? You've gotten in the territory for whatever reasons, maybe a trial, maybe a failure, perhaps for no reason of your own. Just as the lions were circling Daniel in the darkness, so is your enemy circling you, waiting for you to fear, trying to interrupt your prayer life. The fear of what this is in my body that I can't seem to go away. Fear that I keep praying about this thing over and over and over again, thinking about how this is going to mound up. Fear that my children won't be safe and been praying for 25 years and they still haven't come to God and the rapture's imminent.
Yeah.
This happened any day. Yes, it may be.
Yes.
Yes.
But God's faithful.
God's faithful.
What promise did you stand on?
That's right.
We're going to talk about that. Just the line circling down in the darkness, he continues to try to instill fear in our hearts and our minds, trying to evade such a precious time, to get us away from that very thought and that very prayer to the one that actually can answer that prayer. Fear of the unknown, fear of what could be. Our enemy is a master of distracting us from where our help comes from.
Right. Yes.
So anytime you feel distracted, you can remember it's from the enemy.
Yeah.
Straight up.
Right.
If you've been distracted from being with God, it's a ploy from your enemy. Yeah. Our enemy is hungry to kill that which is only birthed in prayer. The overcomer becomes an overcomer by the word of God. The word tells us that we who belong to Christ don't have to fear, because the Bible tells us that even the devil knows Christ and he trembles. Does that not make you feel empowered by the Christ and God in you?
Right.
Yeah.
That's who the enemy is afraid of and trembles?
Yeah.
Another way the enemy comes is called condemnation. The devil will condemn you with circumstances, weaknesses, worry, hopelessness, and make you believe that you are not what God says you are. But the word says in Romans 8:1 that there is no condemnation to them that who are in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. How do you get in Christ Jesus if he is not in you? In prayer and supplication to the Lord, spending time with him in that relationship, make sure that we have been connected to the divine.
Yes.
So how important is for our enemy to cut us off before we are attached to that very vine that brings the very living water that we must have.
Yeah.
That truth that we must have. The Bible also tells us in John 8:44 that the devil is a liar and the father of them, and there's no truth in him. The Bible tells us in Romans 8:37 that we are more than conquerors through him that loves us.
Yes.
Furthermore, in verse 38, it tells us angels or demons or powers or anything created can separate us from the love of God. The enemy doesn't like to lose territory. He will fight for it. But prayer and the word gives you authority to take from him what he took from you.
Yeah.
And those things surround you. It doesn't matter if you're surrounded or not. God is still greater. He is sovereign over all.
Yes.
He is God of heaven and earth. He is God that spoke and to come. He is God, all powerful.
Yeah.
But is he all powerful in you and me?
Yeah.
That's really where the question comes down. So, our point number two is lions like to prey upon the sick and the young. We can look at Daniel and see that in the lion's den, he obviously is not sickly in his prayer life or young in his faith. Otherwise, his story would be different. He wasn't an easy target for the lions. So the reverse is true. If we become weak and sickly, we do become easy targets for the enemy.
Right.
This is how it usually starts. I don't feel like going to church.
Yeah.
Right. But I think I'm going to go just to check out that box. I'm not really going to get involved in the worship. I'm going to sit on my seat.
Yeah.
I don't want to read my Bible if I'm too busy. I don't want to continue in prayer until I reach God. I got places to go. And suddenly your prayer life is merely praying over dinner, and the interruption happens.
Yeah.
That's right.
You don't have time for a relationship with God because it takes too much time.
Come on.
The enemy is going to attack because you have no relationship with God. How does he know? Because he can see. So he attacks where he sees sickly and weak. So if we are not having the bread of life, the tempted to feed us each and every day, how can we not be sickly and weak? So when we are seen as weak, then as lions in the wild, they come after those who are sickly and weak. For those who do not have the truth. Those that are not reading the truth. Those that are not spending time with God to be renewed, refreshed, energized by the Spirit of the living God. A lot of people live with interrupted prayer lives, and then when the attack comes or when the storm comes, they fall on their face and cry out, "Oh God, heal me. Oh God, help me. Oh God, deliver me out of this bondage I put myself in."
Yes.
Come on.
Right.
Oh God, my enemy is all around me. Where are you? Don't forsake me. When the truth is, you let yourself become spiritually sick and the enemy moved in on you. But God is merciful and faithful, and his arm is not shortened that it cannot reach where we are.
Yeah.
No matter what we've done, he is always faithful. His word says that his mercies are new each and every morning and that his mercies endure forever. His word says, let the weak say, I am strong, but the only way you can do that is to not let the lies distract you from the purposeful prayer life.
Yes.
A purpose. Yeah.
Purpose.
A purpose in prayer.
Uh-huh.
And a prayerful purpose in our lives.
Yeah.
They like to stop. These lines like to stop under cover and during the storm.
Uh-huh.
They know that during the storm they like to hunt their prey in the night storms when there's surrounding darkness and sounds that can conceal their movements.
Uh-huh.
So they can't be heard. They like to attack from behind. Usually as a winged lioness likes to attack from the side, going for the throat for the quick kill.
Yeah.
When you get into a storm, the enemy is going to go for the throat to stop your prayers. Hello? To stop your prayer, to interrupt that flow of power from heaven.
Yeah.
So the first thing he wants to do is take your praise away from you, because knowing that if you have praise, that who is going to inhabit your praise?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
It's that conduit of the Spirit of the living God that he will come down in the very mess that you're in.
Uh-huh.
Even if you made the mess, he's going to get down there and walk with you.
Yes,
even
sir.
If you're in the valley and you don't know where you're going, you don't know how you're going to get out of it, you don't know how you're going to climb, you don't know how dark it is, but you're still feeling your way around, he's with you. If you're in prayer and you're praising him, no matter what the storm may look like, he is still with you. That's what the word tells us. As we heard this morning, even if it's delayed,
mm-hmm.
it's still on the way.
It's still there.
You can guarantee he heard you the first day.
Yes, for sure.
Amen.
Amen.
That's a fact
that
he did. When you get in a storm, the enemy is going to go for the throat each and every time to stop that praise. God inhabits our praises. We know this. You know that Daniel had to be in a storm when the men he had always done business with betrayed him. You know he had to be in a sudden storm when they told him, you're going to the den of lions.
Uh-huh.
Could you imagine that those that you work with each and every day betrayed you and basically threw you to the lions themselves?
Uh-huh.
And probably, since there was so much issue between he and them, because they were not trustworthy, and he was, they were probably laughing when they pushed their rock closed.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. We got him now.
Got him now.
We got him now. Daniel, like us, was in a foreign land far away from what he knew, and now in the den of lions, the darkness all around him, but he stayed faithful to God in prayer. Daniel kept his culture of worship no matter where he was, as we should continue to praise our God no matter what the world around us does.
Yeah.
Now, you can go around each and every place in the world and you can look at what they would say the new world order is. And it's coming. The Bible tells us. One world religion, it's coming. The Bible tells us. The Antichrist is coming. The Bible tells us. And then the Bible also says that we win and we go to heaven. Okay? Which part do you want to focus on? So am I focused on eternity, or am I going to focus on what may be tomorrow? Am I focused on who can change what's going to happen tomorrow? That he holds me in his very hand, and I'm protected by his power and his mind, not by anything else.
Right.
But if I trust in him in prayer, then I know that he'll hear me.
Yes, sir.
So how can I not walk with the Lord God that's all powerful?
Amen.
How can I not want to be in his presence each and every day?
Yes, sir.
It's by the lie of the enemy. Every time that he comes back, the father of lies lies to you and says, God doesn't love you. God doesn't even know where you are. God doesn't hear you like we heard this morning. It's just delayed. Perhaps God is testing us during that time, as he did then. He tested it.
Yes, he did.
But Daniel continued to pray.
Yes, he did.
Continued to worship 3 times a day. Each and every day he spent time with God. Why? Because he needed it. It was his life-giving flow of God that he needed each and every day. The intimacy with the Lord gave Daniel wisdom, courage, and faith that sustained him. Psalm 34:4, I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears.
Yes.
All of it. He didn't say, I'm going to deliver you out of some. How about just 70%? Is that good?
No.
That's better than half.
Yeah.
He said all.
Yes, he did.
That's one thing. When God speaks, it's life.
Yes.
It's not death. It's not partial. It's complete.
Yeah.
The battle isn't yours. It's the Lord's. You know how? By speaking the word of the Lord in the battle. It is his word that will defeat the enemy. But as Abel said, I will hide his word in my heart.
Yes.
So I will sin against him. So also the fact that if I hide the word of God, when the enemy comes against me, like a flood, as he will, God, so standard is, he will by the word. As he took Moses and he stood in the front of the Red Sea, he took that man with a staff and said, stretch out your arms. Mm-hmm. And watch the water spread.
Yeah.
When I tell you to speak to that rock, then water will flow.
Mm-hmm.
God uses man, but he has you say his words.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's his word that has power.
Yes,
it is. It's not yours and I. It's him through you and I. It's him speaking truth. But once you grasp a hold of it and that word of truth is in you, then there's power in that. But there's no power if there's no trust and there's no belief in the one truth. I can quote scriptures all day long and not believe a single one of them. Hello?
Yep, that's right.
But if I read the Bible long enough, like many have, they get saved. But many scholars will read the words of God and say, this is the most magnificent word that was ever written. They may not ever believe it. But the truth is this. There's power in the word.
Yes.
Your Bible will tell you in Matthew 4, 1 through 11, Jesus was tempted, or a better translation, is tested by Satan. Satan took the word and twisted it and told Jesus to turn stones into bread.
Right.
To throw himself off the highest point of the temple. And then he offered all these kingdoms of the earth if Jesus would just bow down to him.
Right.
I want you to know our Lord was not tempted by Satan.
No.
But God used him to show us how to defeat Satan.
Exactly.
John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him, nothing was made. What am I saying? I'm saying God gave us the manual to defeat our enemy. God used Satan to show you and I how to defeat Satan. He made him show us how to defeat him. Did you get that part?
Yeah.
Do you think the God of all universe was really tempted by Satan? Do you think the Word that became flesh was really concerned about how Satan's going to twist his words? Do you think that everything in this Bible would say anything that God was still not always God?
Mm-hmm.
He was to show you and I that that created being, the devil, the Satan, is our enemy from all eternity, or at least until he is thrown in a pit of fire,
right,
can be defeated by the one truth,
yes,
the Word of the living God.
Yes, sir.
As we learn by reading in Job, Satan has to come before God and kneel before him and ask. We see when Jesus cast out the demons called Legion that they asked him to be led to go into the swine. They had to ask.
Yeah.
They also asked for mercy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what I'm asking you tonight is to lift up your hands right where you are right now and thank him and praise him for he is worthy. Praise God for his strength when you are weak. Praise God that he prepares the table in the middle of your enemies. Daniel shows us that devotion to God brings faith that shuts the mouth of the lions. His courage and his discipline keep him from being oppressed and tempted by the
hook. Appreciate you.
around
Thank
him.
Lord Jesus.
He refused to succumb to that pressure of hostile culture of the God of this world. God gave wisdom and he persevered. His life proves as a benchmark of faithfulness and triumph.
Yeah.
Because Daniel prayed, he made it a point to pray. Too many times we wonder, how can I pray? I don't have time. I'm too busy. I'm too tired. When you get up in the morning, it's one of the most difficult times for me because that's the time I allot that I want to spend time with God. Do you not think the enemy knows that?
Yes, he does.
Do you not think he's watching? And then what happens when I don't get up early and pray and read the Word? How's the day turn out? Every single time. That's right. That's right. You will have a battle on your hands because the enemy knows that you haven't spent time with God.
Right.
He knows that you're weak because you have not taken the bread of life and opened it up and seen what God's going to say today. You haven't taken the time to kneel before a holy God and thank him for his mercies through this morning. You haven't taken the time to speak and ask him what his will is today. Because he has a will for each and every one of us today. He started a good work in you, and he will continue to finish it or complete that. So if that's the case, then therefore each and every day that there is a will for God for my life to do something for the kingdom of God. Not my house I'm building, it's his.
Right.
So if I'm going to build his house, that means I'm going to have to take instruction
from the builder.
Yeah.
That's good.
We're going to have to take it from the builder.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's good.
God. What am I saying? How are we going to defeat our enemy without the word of God? How are we going to defeat our enemy if we have no relationship with God? How are we going to speak to God without prayer?
Right.
So many times I've seen those that have went to the altars, shed tears, got saved. But in a matter of time, so many weeks, maybe a month or two, they start weighing off. Because usually the young don't know how to pray. That's why we as a church surround them.
Right.
Protect them as a line of pride and protect those. But also, we become sickly without the time of prayer and the word. We have so many ministries in this church going on all the time, and so many people reaching out and doing wonderful work, whether it be for the young or for the old. We have ministry going on here at this church, speaking to those people that need help.
Right.
We don't always know where people are, but God does.
Yes, he does.
So when we speak to God, it may not be for just you today. It may be for that one next to you.
Yeah.
Right.
It may be for that person in the workplace.
Yeah.
That's falling apart inside, but you don't know.
Uh-huh.
That needs a word of truth to penetrate the darkness, and they see a glimpse of light because they're in the shadow, but they don't know that God will prepare a table. Maybe they don't know God. And this is an excellent opportunity for them to be introduced to the Prince of Peace.
Yeah.
How many times do you see those around you without peace?
Mm-hmm.
How many times do you hear people with anxiety problems?
Mm-hmm.
Why? Why do you fight anxiety? Because the devil wants you to be busy fighting something. If he can't get you with anxiety, he'll get you with fear. If he can't get you with fear, he'll get you with this. If he can't get you with that, he'll be lust of the flesh. If he can't get you with that, whatever's going to work for you, he's going to keep throwing those fiery darts. He's going to still roar from the distance. Continually. But I'm going to ask you to stand as I'm closing. So I was thinking about this message this week and how it worked, some of the things that God has spoken to my heart. And I'm going to pray over the congregation in just a moment, but I want to ask you If you want to recommit a life of prayer, then that should be everyone here.
Yeah,
I want to ask you to come around these altars.